Matthew chapter 27. But it was good music, and what a blessing. You know, our mind is a funny thing. Our mind very seldom, or at least my mind very seldom thinks about the present. We have a tendency to think about the past. We have a tendency to think about the future, the plans, the what ifs, maybe waiting on some kind of a doctor report, or maybe waiting on some kind of news. But if you ever stop to think that our mind a lot of times don't really think about the present as to what is happening right now. Well, I want to read a passage of Scripture tonight that is, when we stop and read it, it's very sobering. It's very sobering when it comes to the fact of just exactly what Christ did on the cross. Then there's times when we think of that, this passage of Scripture, that not only do we think of it being sobering, but we also rejoice because of just exactly what was accomplished on the cross. So we rejoice and we're excited, not as to what happened, but what the outcome would be. And so we've titled our message, May We Never Forget. And that's my desire. When you think about growing older, there's a lot of things that we think about. And I used to hear Dr. Martin say, you know, Dr. Martin, who's preached here many times. And I used to hear him say, one of the concerns that he had as he grew older, he wasn't really concerned about his physical health. He wasn't really concerned about, the body kind of thing, because, you know, we all know that, that we get, weaker, we have more aches and pains and problems. But one of his greatest fears was losing his memory. That was one of his greatest fears. And I'll echo that, and one of the greatest things that I hope I never, ever forget is simply what Jesus Christ did on the cross. Amen. There's going to be some things that we don't remember. Okay, we're not going to remember. But I hope that we will always remember what Christ did for us. And so I've titled this message, May We Never Forget, beginning in verse 45 of Matthew chapter 27. Make sure I get this scripture right. I was having y'all look in Psalms last Sunday night, and it was actually Philippians, but I appreciate your wanting to know where I was. But this is Matthew chapter 27. Beginning with verse 45. Now from the sixth hour there was darkness all over the land unto the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani? That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Some of them that stood there, when they heard that, said, this man calleth for Elias. And straightway one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink. The rest said, let be. Let us see whether Elias will come and save him. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielding up the ghost, and behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top of the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose, and came out of the graves after his resurrection, and went into the holy city, and appeared unto many. Now when the centurion and they that were with him watched Jesus saw the earthquake and these things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, truly, this was the Son of God. Let's pray. Father, thank you for our time together. Thank you, Lord, for how good you are to us. But thank you most of all for your grace. All that was accomplished on the cross, we're grateful for, and we rejoice. But we never want to be unthankful for what you've done. We ask your blessings on the message. We ask your blessings on those that are listening and those that are watching. And we pray, Lord, that you would speak to hearts. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Before we get into our introduction tonight, I just want to make mention, it came to my mind, but remember the Robin Wood ministry that starts tomorrow at 3 o'clock. That's a change of time. And so do remember that. And if you're not able to attend, be sure and pray for them that the Lord would use that ministry. But tonight's title is May We Never Forget. It wasn't until I played back in my mind, referring to 9/11, it wasn't until I played back in my mind that I remembered where I was when I saw the first newscast of 9/11. And I remember I was working, I was in Winston-Salem, and some of the guys was taking a break, and they had the TV on, and they hollered down, it was upstairs, and they hollered down to the ones in the shop saying, saying, come look at this. And so they, several of us went up and I don't remember if it was a replay or if it actually happened live, but I watched the second airplane flying to the towers, and it wasn't soon after that that the Twin Towers collapsed. Now, I play back in my mind, and I think of what I was thinking, and I was thinking, first of all, was this possibly, after watching the first one, or at least the news of the first one, was this a pilot's error? Was it a mishap? Was it... what really happened? The trade towers collapsed. And I knew right then that no one had to tell me that lives were lost. There was no way that people didn't get killed in the destruction of these towers. But now fast forwarding 21 years, now it's considered part of history. And so now as children, and at least I hope, they don't erase this history like they try to erase other histories. But I hope that as children begin to read and begin to study that, and they read this in generations to come, that they will remember just exactly what took place. You see, it concerns me when people tries to rewrite history. History's history. You can't change history. And what concerns you is the fact that when they take it out of the textbooks and when they take it out of the studies, then eventually, then there's going to be some confusion as to history in the past. And so, I've always enjoyed history. I never liked to study history as far as study for test, but I did like to see the things that took place. And so we know that that is part of history and that's something for us to remember. And we that were alive, you know, Darla and I were talking, I guess it was this week, and we were talking about 9/11 and And I think it was somebody, I don't remember who it was, but somebody, maybe it was one of Scott's kids, I'm not sure, but somebody asked Marshall what he remembered. And Marshall really didn't remember a lot. But then you think, well, he's 25, so he would have been 4 years old. And we really did try to keep a lot of things away from him when we listened back then, when we listened to news and all the turmoil that was taking place. So there's a lot of things that he wouldn't remember. So history is something to remember, something to learn from, something to understand, and try to not repeat. And so history is just what it is. It's history. Well, this event here that took place in the life of Jesus when he was hanging on the cross was more than history. It'll change a life today. It's more than history. And there's a psalm that comes to my mind, and I'll just read it to you. Psalm 109, verse 26 and 27 says, "Help me, O Lord my God. O save me according to thy mercy." Verse 27 says, "That they may know that this is thy hand, that thou, Lord, hast done it." So when I think about that, "thou, Lord, hast done it," I think of we need to remember. And we should never take for granted what Jesus Christ accomplished on the cross. We should always remember and keep that close. And so tonight I would like to remember what Christ did, and only not only what he did, but what he was willing to do. What he was willing to do. And so our title this evening is, "May We Never Forget." So I begin tonight by saying, may we never forget the cruelty of the cross. And it begins with the cruel crown that was placed upon his head. The cruel crown that was placed upon his head. If you turn back over a page to verse 29 of Matthew 27, we read these words in verse 29. It says, "When they had planted a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head, a reed in his right hand, and they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, 'Hail, King of the Jews.' And they spit upon him and took the reed and smote him on the head." So we call this the cruel crown, the cruelty of the cross. And it begins with the cruel crown. Do you realize when they put that crown upon his head, and when they created that act, they was literally rejecting sovereignty. They was rejecting sovereignty. The symbol of this crown was a rejection of sovereignty and just who Jesus was. It was a mockery of who Jesus was. And they were mocking him by taking this crown of thorns, and they was taking the reed and they were placing it on his head, and not just placing it, but they were using the reed to penetrate. And they were literally rejecting who Jesus was and the sovereignty. They were saying, and they were refusing his reign over them. They were refusing. And that's shown to us in the scripture. The cruel crown. What about the cruel crowd? The cruel crowd. And we take that from verse 39 of that same chapter. "And they passed by, reviled him, and wagged their heads, and saying, 'Thou that destroyed the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself. If,'" notice what they said, "'if thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross.'" You see, the cruel crowd was simply rejecting his servanthood, rejecting his servanthood. So we have a rejection of sovereignty about who God is or who Jesus is. We have a rejection of his servanthood, his willingness, and they were rejecting him. And now we have the cross itself, and we call it the cruel cross. The cruel cross. Verse 35 of that same chapter says, "And they crucified him and parted his garments, casting lots, that they might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophets. They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. And sitting down, they watched him there. And they set up over his head, 'This is Jesus, the King of the Jews.'" They was rejecting him as Savior. Rejecting him as Savior. There was suffering on the cross. And we remember that tonight. May we never forget what was accomplished on the cross. May we never forget those that were cruel, that placed those thorns, that rejected him and that mocked him. And then it really struck in my mind when verse 36 says, "And they sat down there watching him there." They were simply sitting down and watching, like it was some kind of a reality show of some sort that we have today. They were sitting there watching him, waiting, just seeing what was going to take place next. May we never forget the cruelty. May we also never forget the cries. You see, there was some great cries from the cross. Some great cries. What about the forgiving cry? Turn with me to Luke chapter 23. Luke chapter 23. Verse 34. Notice what the scripture says. "Then said Jesus, 'Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do.'" What grace was exercised, and what grace was shown, and what love was shown by him saying those words, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Only Jesus could say those words. Only Jesus would have the ability and the understanding and the knowledge and the power to say, "Father, forgive them." Because look at your own life. Look at when someone wrongs you. Do you say, "Father, forgive them"? Our first reaction, one of our first reactions is to get frustrated. Our first reaction is to get upset. What if someone hurt one of your children or your grandchildren? Then you're going to be upset. You're going to be bothered. And for Jesus to have the power to say, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do," I thank God for that. I thank God that he was able to say those words, "Father, forgive them." And we call that the forgiving cry, because only Jesus could say it. And I'll give one more. Only Jesus could mean it. There were times when I was growing up that my parents would get the children when we got into an argument or when we got started aggravating each other. Once you start something, then it never turns out good. It's just how it is. It never really turns out good. And there were times that one of us whether it be my two sisters or whether it be me and a sister or, you know, whether it be five sisters against the boy, whatever it was, or maybe one boy against the five sisters. But there would be times that my mother would say, all right, I've had enough. Tell them you're sorry. And you would say, I mean, it was almost like life would have been so much better if you'd have just said you're sorry. But it's like she kept on, tell them you're sorry, tell them you're sorry. And then finally you look at them with that face and you say, sorry. And she knew you didn't mean it. She knew, but she just, it's like she just wanted you to say it. Well, let me tell you something. When Jesus Christ said, forgive them, he meant it.
Amen.
He meant it. Because that's who he is. And that's why we worship him. And that's why we remember the cross tonight, is because he's exactly who he said he was. And he's sovereign and he's worthy of all of our praise, because he could say the words, Father, forgive them, and mean it. What about a favoring cry? Luke chapter 23, verse 43, the Bible says, and Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Don't you love it when you read that? A favoring cry. While Jesus was on the cross, he was extending grace to someone that was undeserving. To someone who was guilty of the crime, even admitted that they were guilty of the crime, and Jesus extended forgiveness and he extended grace. He was guilty, but he was also forgiven. And I say tonight that only Jesus could do that. You see, that's why our focus should be on Jesus Christ and none else. That's why our focus should be on Jesus, because of who he is and because of what was accomplished. And you see, by us understanding that he forgave this thief, that helps me to understand that he's going to forgive me. That helps me to understand that when I bowed my head and I said, Lord, come into my heart and save me, forgive me of my sins, he meant what he said, and there was something accomplished. You see, we understand based upon what the Scripture says. And that's why we need to remember. And so when someone, and you're talking to someone, and someone's struggling about committing themselves to the Lord and getting saved, you can say, wait a minute, he forgave me. He forgave me. He changed my life, and he can change yours too. I'll give you another one. A forsaken cry. A forsaken cry. Matthew 27, going back to Matthew 27, verse 46. He says the words, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? When Jesus became sin for us, he was forsaken by the Father. And Jesus was judged as sin on the cross for you and for me. You see, he had to take our place. It's the only hope that we have, is Jesus and what was accomplished. There had to be a debt that was paid. And he paid it for every one of us. No matter how great, you know, it's funny, because you see testimonies of people, and you see, you know, the first thing you think about when someone gets saved, and you hear the testimonies of someone getting saved, that maybe they were a drunkard, or maybe they lived a very vile life, and God got into their heart, and Jesus Christ saved them, and it turned them all around. Do you realize that he died just as much for that person as someone who didn't do those things? It's not what we've done, but it's what he did. That's what the difference is. You see, we have a tendency to gauge things by how rough a person was or how bad a person was, but really it's not about that. It's the fact that we're all sinners and we all need to be saved. And the fact that He's willing to do that, and when we see the words, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? We think about this verse that comes to my mind, and the Bible says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You see, a forsaking cry. But there's also another cry. And that's found in the book of John. John 19:30, and I'll just quote it to you. Three words. It is finished. You see, let me say it like this. He wasn't saying, I'm finished. He was saying, it is finished. You see, they didn't finish him off. It is finished. It was finished. That was a statement not of defeat, but that was a statement of victory. That was a statement of victory. It is finished. In other words, it had been accomplished what needed to be accomplished. You see, that's what we remember tonight. We remember those cries. We remember what was accomplished. You see, it wasn't a cry of a victim, but it was the cry of our Savior. May we never forget. And lastly tonight, I just want to share just a few more things. May we never forget our condition. May we never forget our condition. No matter how good or how bad you are, I will say this, that every one of us, whether we're here in this building, in this sanctuary, or whether someone is listening online, every single one of us deserves hell. Every single one of us deserves hell. Some people say, well, I haven't been too bad. But all have sinned. I was talking to a lady, and I believe that she was just as genuine could be. And I'm trying to remember where she was from. She was part Italian, but I can't quite remember. I remember she had an accent, and I was talking to her, and actually she made her profession, but I was talking to her one time, and I asked her, I said, have you ever done anything wrong? Just as sincere as possible, she looked at me, she says, no, I can't remember anything. And we talked even further, and finally I got her to understand the question. And see, we sometimes gauge things by our actions. We gauge things by maybe what we did growing up. But you see, when the Bible says all have sinned, that means our minds daydreaming into some thoughts that we shouldn't think, or maybe a bad feeling towards someone, or maybe some aggravations, or maybe some frustrations, or maybe even growing up and you were lying. It doesn't matter what it is. The Bible clearly says that all have sinned, which is every one of us. And so we remember, and we hopefully we'll never forget what Jesus Christ has done. And we understand our condition. The Bible says all have sinned, come short of the glory of God. And then we have to, with understanding our condition, we also have to understand His compassion. His compassion. Why did He do what He did on the cross? You see, his mission can be summarized with one word. Love. It can be summarized with one word. Love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You see, we hopefully will never forget our condition. We never forget his compassion. May we never forget what was accomplished at Calvary. His love reminds us. His grace reminds us. His mercy reminds us. His compassion reminds us. Just being here tonight reminds us just how much we love Jesus. May we never forget what Jesus accomplished. You know, our lives get pulled in a lot of directions. There's a lot of frustrations in life. We know that. There's a lot of problems. We see so many things that aggravate us and frustrate us and all those things. But there's one thing that I believe that we can all agree on and rejoice about, and that is the fact that Jesus is our Lord and Savior. He's our Lord and Savior. So if you're here tonight and don't know Christ, I invite you to come. But if you're here tonight and you know Christ, maybe you'd just like to come and thank him. Because let me tell you something. May we never forget just exactly what Christ accomplished on the cross. Even in generations to come, may we never forget. Father, thank you for our time together tonight. Lord, we're humbled because of what was accomplished. We're humbled because of what you did in our life. We're humbled because there's nothing that we could do on our own. And we had to look to you for salvation. Father, I pray that you'll just bless this invitation as you see fit. And if you've nudged at someone's heart, may they be willing to come and just talk to you. You're worthy of all of our time and our praise. And Lord, help us to never, ever forget. Father, bless us tonight, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.